We are
Breaking news,
recording.
ladies and gentlemen. I guess two things I guess I want to mention before we dive into the Oscars. One thing is I'll go with the lighter one first. Batman 2 has been delayed by a fucking year, and I know. Let them cook.
Let them cook, indeed.
That's fine, but that doesn't mean I'm not gonna be like, I want my Batman already, god damn it.
I did see a tweet from Queen of Film Twitter, Zoe Rose Bryant, who shared the news of the Batman being delayed, and then she wrote, "Let me see if I can find it." She wrote like, "I'm saying, let them cook to myself, but I am very close to like jumping off the
Yeah. It
end."
looks so good, and it will still be great. There's no doubt. But like, god damn it, you know?
I found it. She said, "We have to let them cook," I say to myself while 2 inches away from the ledge.
Yeah. Well, we just went from being 19 months to being it being 53 months. God damn it.
Look, if they work with no deadline, that means that they can take their time and make this as good as possible. And look, I don't know anything about the Batman 2, and I'm happy to not know. Honestly, look, we still have the Penguin TV show to look forward to, so yeah, we
Look,
got
here's a list of
that.
movies that we're gonna get before we get to see the next Batman movie. Superman, Fantastic Four, Michael, that's gonna be troublesome. Captain America, Brave New World, the Minecraft movie, the end of Mission Impossible, please God. Firebolts, I'm sorry, Thunderbolts, Snow White, Final Destination, Six Bloodlines, a return to How You Train Your Dragon, I think the live action one, Jurassic Park, another one. Like, god damn it, there's so much crap coming down the way. Ballerina, Fast X Part 2, Blade, Moana, all these fucking movies
That Moana
before we
movie's
get
not that it's
Batman.
not coming out.
Which one?
The Moana live action, that's not gonna come out.
Before it or in general?
It's not gonna come out. It's like the Harry Potter series. It's not gonna come out.
I don't know, man. The Rock needs some wins. He's gonna need them.
Yeah, he does need them, but what studio is gonna trust him after, you know, all the fucking shit that he's done?
He is still very bankable, my friend.
Really? Really? What's the last movie that he did that made bank?
He's going back to Fast and Furious franchise for the last run. I'm okay. That's like betting on Al Pacino in his old age. Oh, he's a draw. They still be giving him
I
chances.
wouldn't bank on Al Pacino. He flopped the way
Oh,
the
we will get to that. I
yeah.
was actually really
Oh
thankful that
God.
he flubbed it.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny.
So the back has been delayed.
Look, there's some cool things that are gonna come out this year. We have Deadpool. We got the Furiosa prequel. Honestly, I'm more pissed off that Mickey 17 was delayed. That's what I'm pissed off about.
What's Mickey 17?
It's the new movie by Bong Joon-ho, the director of Parasite, starring Robert Pattinson, actually.
Oh shit, for it's all right, man. I'm gonna stand back on that one.
All right, what was the other thing?
So I don't I know this is probably a bigger deal to me than to you, but I did want to acknowledge the passing of Akira Toriyama. The man legitimately had an impact on not just my childhood, but clearly like millions, maybe even billions around the world with his anime. If you don't know the name, you know what he created. You know Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super. We don't talk about GT. You know Goku, you know Vegeta, you know the stories, you know. Whether you watch the parody series Dragon Ball Z Abridged, which I do recommend, whether you've played the games, whether you've seen the movies, watch the countless hours of shows or the memes. Genuinely, like his very existence touched so many lives. And I think it's worth noting, like, you know, acknowledging that and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah, look, I'm not a big fan of Dragon Ball, but I love Akira Toriyama. Like, not just because of what he created, I mean, which is, it's fucking impressive that a guy just touched so many lives and so many people just love and know their work. The fact that he was loved pretty much everywhere that he went. You're allowed to not like Dragon Ball, but every anime that you like is in some way influenced by it. So I think it's very important to keep that in mind. Also, on a personal note, I'm Mexican, and Mexicans fucking love Dragon Ball. Like, they love Akira Toriyama. Like, here's how much he was loved. There was a finale, like one big fight. They actually showed it in Sinaloa, in like one of the big national
Didn't
they showed the fight,
Goku
and
and
yeah, and they got cease and desist. They announced it that they were gonna be showing that like to the public, and they got cease and desist letters from Japan, and the Mexican government was like, "You have no idea. We're
Jiren.
still gonna do this. Like, it's not gonna. Here's how much it went to. There was a fight that was gonna happen in Dragon Ball Super, and there were, you're not gonna believe me when I tell you this, but there were strip clubs offering free lap dances if Goku won. Like, that's how far they went to. Okay, like, it is astonishing. Like, the life that this man lived, and the career that he built, and the wars that he created. And it's not just Dragon Ball, it's also Dragon Quest, it's also Chrono Trigger, it's also like, he's the science were freaking everywhere. Like, a lot of people that I know started to draw because they would started to draw Dragon Ball characters.
I remember the
So
how to draw manuals in school when we had book fairs where they were,
yeah.
and I remember they had a lot of manuals of how to draw Dragon Ball Z characters.
Yeah.
Remember that.
So, yeah, a lot of. Here's also how much the Mexican cartels announced a ceasefire.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know if I could do that. Yeah. The cartels, that was what was like a 3-day ceasefire?
Yeah.
In honor of this man, like, you know what? We can't do
Yeah.
it. I saw a meme. It's a fucked up meme, but I saw a meme that said, when the cartel member guns me down, I'm looking in the eyes and say, Goku would be disappointed in you.
You have
Oh, God.
no idea how, yeah, that's pretty much how it went. So yeah, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. You left us too soon. He was so young, but also he left a huge collection of work that will live forever. So yeah,
It's
shout out
also worth
to
noting,
Akira Toriyama.
he does leave behind his wife and 2 children. He was a notoriously private person, but also, like, from everything I could tell from all the interviews, he made Dragon Ball, right? Like that's his big like his big thing. He could have been a jerk. He could have been like a mean guy who like threw his weight around, was an asshole. Every interview that I've seen, they talked about what a humble guy he was. He brought leftovers from work every day from home every day for lunch. Like, he was a very humble man, like a good person. Like, if you were brand new, if you were a fan, seasoned veteran, whatever, like, he welcomed everyone, like, if you wanted to talk to him or whatnot. So,
Yeah.
fundamentally a good dude. More, we need more people like that.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's gonna be that. All right, rest in peace. Let's get into it.
Let's jump into the Oscars. Chema, will you please do us the honor hitting the ad intro?
Classy. Thank you for welcoming us into your headphones. My name is Chema.
And I am Eddie.
Reviewing, or I guess discussing, the 96 Academy Awards. This is the rollback. So, I do consider, so even though we did our top 10 2023 list, which I consider the formal end to the fiscal year here at the rollback, as I'm deciding to call it, it kind of formally ends once the Oscars hit, because it really closes out everything. And you know, we've done after Oscar shows in the past couple of years. I think we've been more or less, we're like, yeah, this tracks. You know, I think this year there were a lot of surprises, and I think there were some pretty interesting things that were worth celebrating. Did you watch the whole ceremony, or did you watch just like highlights? Or
I watched the highlights, if I'm being honest with you. I know about the Batman joke. I know about John Cena and the costume design situation.
Yeah.
I caught mostly the highlights, if I'm being honest.
Did you see the Ryan Gosling performance of I'm Just Ken?
Yes. I love excuse me. I love the ode to Marilyn Monroe,
Yeah.
in that Pretty in Pink and you know, Diamonds, our girl's best friend. I love that. I love how
Yeah.
he also went to Margot Robbie and I'm
Greta
sorry, Greta Gerwig.
Gerwig. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I love how he went to them during the performance. Like to, hey, come on. And the audience members knew the song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It was
so.
definitely like, I feel like we all knew that he wasn't gonna win. Like, it was obviously gonna be Billie Eilish and Phineas,
Yeah.
but like, that was a fun performance to have. Like, it was very much worth to have that in there. I think that's why they do these kind of shows. I have a list here of the awards. I feel like we should go bottom to top, and I think we should
Agreed.
start with something you're definitely gonna want to talk about, and that is the winner of Best Visual Effects, which went to Godzilla Minus One.
Oh man.
Totally deserved. Totally deserved. Cannot believe that Godzilla finally has an Oscar.
Did you see their shoes? Their shoes were
Yes,
clogs.
I
Yeah.
did. I did. I also saw the toys that they were carrying.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. Like, absolutely wonderful. Like, that was one of the best movies of last year. It deserved a lot more nominations, but I liked the fact that the one that it got, it got it. Like, it was
Technically,
totally.
Godzilla's one for one. He's batting a 100. He's perfect. Technically.
Yeah.
Technically, Godzilla is perfect. Nolan can't say that. Not
Nolan cannot
Nolan,
say
not
that.
who's old fuck number three? Martin Scorsese can't say that either.
Yeah. It's just
I
they
loved
got
it.
it, and
I loved
I'm
it.
glad. The other nominations were cool. The Creator, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and Mission Impossible and Napoleon. It's cool that they were there, but nah, man. Hail to the King. Like, this is like,
Yeah,
yeah, this is
recognize,
the one that
motherfuckers,
deserved it.
recognize.
Yeah.
Which I loved it. I loved it. I kind of wish that they had been nominated for Best International Film. I think they could have put up a fight, but I'm
Yeah.
glad at the very least Godzilla the King finally gets his well-deserved Oscar after 70 years and 38 films. Like, man, I was happy when I saw that. I was
Yeah, that was one of the best moments of the night, I think. And also the fact that it was Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito giving the Oscar. Like, that was pretty fun.
Twins. Is it the twins? Is that what
Yeah.
it's called?
Yeah, from the Twins. All right, so that was that. Best film editing went to Oppenheimer, went to Jennifer Lame, who is Nolan's personal like editor. Not gonna lie, her Oscar was a long time coming.
What
Because
up
this is
with
the
Tenet?
woman. She did Tenet, she did Blonde, she did both Black Panthers,
Oh, snap. Wow.
she did Hereditary, she did Midsommar, she did Manchester by the Sea, she did Frances Ha. She's done like a ton of movies. She did The Lovely Bones and Frances Ha and a ton of Noah Baumbach stuff. She did Judas and the Black Messiah. So it's really cool that she got finally an Oscar for that, because like, she's great. Like, she's look, Oppenheimer is a long ass movie and it's really good, and I think you don't feel the weight because of how it's edited, because you can go back and forth between Oppenheimer's story and Louis Strauss's story, and the fact that it's so well balanced, I think a lot of that is in the editing. So yeah, very much deserved.
I think my favorite for her was the editing right around, and I got to imagine Nolan was involved, but still, the editing
Yeah.
around the part where Oppenheimer's giving the speech at the high school of like, we're really gonna give it to the Nazis, right? And
Yeah.
like you just it gets louder and louder and louder, and you see the bodies on the floor, you see the ash, and people
Yeah.
are crying, and it's so frantic and it's just anxiety inducing. And that's hard for a movie to do that. So no, she
Yeah.
definitely that one scene alone. Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah, so yeah, very well done, Jennifer Lame. And then best costume design, that went to Poor Things, which I had Barbie to win this one, but honestly, I figured it was going to be between Barbie and Poor Things. I think those two were the clear standouts in this. Yeah.
I'm impressed that Napoleon didn't take it just because of how historical it was. I thought it Napoleon's not a great movie, but it looked
It's
great.
not.
You want to argue Suicide Squad? Arguably not a good movie, but still won an Oscar for costume design. So
It
I would
won it
say
for
that.
make it won for makeup.
I went for makeup, my bad. I thought it was costume design. But yeah, that's where I'm coming from in that one. It's like, oh, it's not the best, but okay, that's what we're gonna go with, I guess.
Last year it went to Black Panther, and then before it went to Cruella. And yeah, like
Oh,
this is like very costumey movies. And Poor Things is a very costumey movie, both story-wise and like movie-wise. So it does look great. So yeah, I did want it to go to Barbie just because the outfits was something that was so like stood out before the movie even came out. Like while the trailers were coming out, like people were already designing like their Barbie clothes for the movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just really cool to see. But yeah, speaking, yeah.
No, yeah, for costume design, I was just gonna say I agree Barbie maybe should have taken it, but I'm not surprised Poor Things won. Like again, it goes into that realm.
They ended up seeing Poor Things.
I haven't. I've seen I saw the trailer a couple times. It's on my list along with Anatomy of a Fall.
They put
And
Poor
American
Things
Fiction.
on. They put Poor Things on Disney
Hulu.
Plus.
Right? Oh, it's on Disney Plus. Oh, okay, then I'll watch it.
Here's what I'm gonna recommend. Don't watch it with family.
Oh, why?
Just trust me on that one.
Oh, is it because of all the sex scenes with her and Mark Ruffalo?
It's not just the sex scenes with her and Mark Ruffalo. It's everything else.
Oh, God, okay.
I liked it. I really like it. But when the movie ended, I turned to my two friends that I went to see it, and I went like, "I'm so glad I saw it with you guys."
Oh, God. Oh, because you didn't go with your family like you normally do?
Yeah. So I was like, "Yeah, this is way better. Way better than we did this."
Fair.
All right.
Makeup.
Best makeup and hairstyling also went to Poor Things. Which makes sense. Like every character, every actor in this movie is playing a character. Like they're not just playing like themselves, which is cool. Especially with Willem Dafoe. If you see Willem Dafoe in Poor Things, you're like, yeah, this is why they gave him the Oscar. Because they made all those scars on his face look very like fleshy and gross and disgusting but also like believable. Like they're cartoony, but they're believable.
Question. Do you think for best makeup, you saw Maestro, right?
I did, sadly.
What did you didn't like Maestro? That's
I
fair.
hated it.
See,
Absolutely hated it.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was I'm gonna say better than good. It was good. It was maybe slightly below good. Whatever. It's not a Maestro
It's
review.
just you can smell the bad intentions coming from it, like from a mile away. Like it's.
Props. Did we ever do a review on Maestro?
We didn't. No. I just saw it. Like I just saw it like a couple days ago.
Oh, okay. I just remember thinking Bradley Cooper, like son of a bitch, he's really going for it. He's not. He shouldn't win, but he's really going for it. And I respect him for that.
I don't know. It feels very. I don't know. I saw John Mulaney did a joke at the Oscars that was very funny, where he said like Bradley Cooper said that he spent 6 years learning how to conduct an orchestra to prepare for his character. Hey Bradley, you could have just winged it. We don't know the difference.
Shit, that's a good one.
And
That's a good one.
which is true. And like, here's the thing: like, this man went to like all these lengths to do something, and it's like, you don't really like this that much. Like, I do not believe that you really wanted to embody this just to tell this man's story. Because, like, no, like this, I don't know. I can smell like
The bullshit.
the please give me an Oscar, like, please, goddamn it. And it's like, I don't know. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of that. Was not a fan of Bradley Cooper on this on this season. I don't
Fair.
know. Also, the whole nose thing. Yeah,
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about
that's a
that.
big
Wasn't
thing. Yeah.
necessary. He didn't have to do it.
And yet somehow he did, and that got a nomination for Best Makeup and Hairstyling.
I mean, it looked legit. The nose looked legit. It changed his face enough to not look like Bradley Cooper. I'll give it that.
Yeah, but. Still, no,
Fun.
I think Poor Things was bound to win this too, so it's all good. Cinematography went to Hoyte van Hoytema for Oppenheimer. He also did the cinematography for Nope, so in my head, I'm just gonna decide that he won it for Nope.
I'm not, well, Oppenheimer did have a lot of great visuals, so like I can't fault him for that.
Yeah.
Nolan is the manager, and this man was responsible for the cinematography, and it's a very pretty looking film. It's a film that feels like it's made for IMAX. If you watch Oppenheimer at home, which you can do,
Yeah.
it
It's not the
doesn't.
same. It's not the same.
It feels like watching Dune at home. It feels subpar. Like, nah,
Yeah.
this bitch was made for at minimum like a 30-foot by 30-foot screen at minimum.
You know, I would like to suggest something. I think there should be movies, several movies, like maybe like 10, that should always be in theaters. Like always, you know, just if you feel like rewatching it and you don't want to see it at home, I think you should always have the option, like kind of like dollar theaters, you know. There should be like IMAX theaters that like always are always playing movies.
Like
They should always
professional
be playing the same
screen,
ones.
big screen.
Yeah. And it should be like things like Oppenheimer. It should be things like Top Gun Maverick. It should be you know, those giant feeling movies. They should always be in theaters, just if you feel like it. Because they brought this back. They brought this back to theaters for the for after it got nominated, and it got full again. Like people wanted to see it again in theaters.
I'll tell you a funny story real quick.
It's yeah.
No, you go first.
Oh, I was gonna say like yes, yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. So, my friend's brother, right? His name's Omar. This is back in like college or high school. He went to the movies, right? It was like a fucking Wednesday, so it was dead. And he bought tickets for a movie. And his friend happened to be working. And his friend was like, "Hey man, you bought the only ticket for this movie. You have the theater to yourself for like 2.5 hours. Do you want to watch something else? Like, I can put on anything else you want." So he was like, "You have Rocky?" He's like, "Yeah, we got Rocky. All right, I'll put it on." So he basically he bought for $12, he's able to rent out a whole fucking theater and watch Rocky. He was supposed to watch something shitty, like some shitty rom-com. I don't remember what. This is back in
Jesus.
2012, 2011, so it had to be a bad one. But yeah, he got to watch Rocky on the big screen by himself.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there is credence to the whole like keep having movies on replay. I think they should do that on special
Yeah.
anniversaries, or I would kill if they like did like a thing where once a week they were showing like one of the Harry Potter films in order. I would kill for that.
Damn, that could be fun, yeah.
I would do it.
Like always just having them on rotation.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hoytama Hoytama, very much deserved for
Well
Oppenheimer.
deserved.
Yeah.
Best production.
Next. Best production set, also went to Poor Things. I think also well deserved. This is a movie that feels gigantic, and every set from the Baxter's house to the little steampunk little town, to the boat scene, to the wedding, to the mansion, to even when they're just walking by a lake, movie feels gigantic. And I think a lot of that is from how they made everything look. Yorgos Lanthimos is such a craftsman. Like he wants every corner of the screen to be filled with something. So it's really cool to see his transformation and like his movies to eventually get to this. Now production design, I was also thinking Barbie could have taken this because of also how much of it was practical, from the car to just Barbie Land in general. Curse of the Flower Moon would have also been a big one since it's such a gigantic movie as well. But yeah, I think Poor Things was also very much deserved.
I agree. Again, from the limited stuff that I've seen, all the sets looked practical. So I couldn't fault them for anything. Like, no, well enough. I'm surprised Killers of the Flower Moon didn't win this one just because, again, it's a Martin Scorsese film. It's a period piece. Those typically
Yeah.
do very well. Granted, Oppenheimer did well, but I'd argue that's more for the direction rather than the fact that it was a period piece.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that one later. Best sound.
Yeah, that went to the Zone of Interest, which I got to see in theaters. I haven't gotten a, did I get a chance to talk to you about Zone of Interest or not?
No.
Do you know what it's about?
Oh wait, I think I've heard about this. Is this the one where it takes place during World War II? It's like at a
Yeah.
Holocaust. But it's not in the camps. It's like they're in a village near the camps where they're like, oh.
It's a family that lives next to Auschwitz. Like it's they're right next to it, and
Jesus.
it's just their daily life. And look, this is a quiet ass movie. Like it's when we got to this award, I was watching it with some friends and with some family, and I turned to my cousin and I went, "Zone of Interest is gonna win not because of its use of sound, but because of its use of silence," and I was right. So yeah, you can hear like the daily conversations of like, "Yeah, I'm gonna make this for breakfast. Oh yeah, honey, have a good day at work." And you'll hear like yelling in the background, but it's very like surface level. You can barely hear it,
It's
but
just quiet enough.
it's just quiet enough. And the movie like has incredible moments like that. It is one of those movies that I feel weird. I would feel weird reviewing, and I would feel weird talking about it. Like it's such a strange experience because it's trying to tell you like, hey, evil people are fucking evil, you
Yeah.
know. And they do not see themselves as like negative in any way.
Really
And
breaking new
it's a,
ground there, guys.
yeah, and it's fucking crazy. So I admire this movie a lot. I would never see it again. Like I, it's an experience to have, but it's not one that I would like to repeat. But it's cool that they got that they got this award, and they also got a best foreign film. Yeah. But yeah. I thought Oppenheimer would win just for just because of the bomb sound, honestly.
Wait, are you talking about did we jump to best original score? I thought we
No,
talked.
that's still best sound, still best sound.
Oh, okay.
But best original song went to What Was It Made For from Barbie, defeating The Fire Inside from the Hot Cheetos movie, I'm Just Ken, It Never Went Away, and a song from Killers of the Flower Moon. Again, very obvious. It was obviously gonna be this one.
Honestly, I thought it might be I'm Just Ken. I thought they would want to capitalize on the memes. I'm not surprised. I'm happy
Yeah.
that What Was I Made For won, but the fact that Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie were not nominated, like, told me enough of like
Yeah.
they might go for the memes. And fuck, for all I know, like for all we know, I'm Just Ken was gonna win until the backlash.
I don't know, man. I mean, here's the thing. Yes, they were not nominated for their roles, but they were nominated. Like Greta was nominated for writing the script. I know it's a cop out, but they were nominated. Like Margot Robbie was nominated for best produ for producing Barbie. So if Barbie would have won Best Picture, she would have had an Oscar. So, and also, it's just really cool that Billie Eilish is that the only person born post 2000s to have an Oscar, and now she has two.
Yeah.
And Bradley Cooper has zero, so it's really cool to see that. Good for them. Best original score went to Oppenheimer, of course.
I'm not
That was
shocked.
gonna win. I feel like we were all like, yeah, of course that was gonna win. I would have loved if Godzilla Minus One would have gotten nominated for this. The new score that they used for Minus One, the that's a great score.
Part of the thing though is the fact that they didn't really use a new score. They used a lot of old. So
Yeah.
in one moment, when they're having the initial Godzilla attack, they actually use the original recordings. They digitally enhance them, but it's the original recordings, which you can kind of tell, but this is coming from a guy that loves the film.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, best animated short.
Best animated short went to War Is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. I think this one just because of its title, if I'm honest.
I mean, I'm be real with you. I didn't see any of these, so I have no ground to stand on.
I did see this one, but I thought it was good. Not great, just kind of good. I didn't see the other one, so I don't really have a fight in this, but it's cool. I love the Beatles, so it's kind of nice. What was really cool was the best live action short film went to The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar on Netflix. And with this, Wes Anderson wins his first Oscar.
Wow, it wasn't even for a real movie.
It is a real movie. It's just a short one. It starred Benedict Cumberbatch.
Look, I'm gonna take my shots at Wes Anderson when I want to. I
I thought
make
you
the
liked
Grand
Wes
Budapest
Anderson.
Hotel. No, I know I like him, but I'm also gonna like, hey, I'm gonna check your all your victories with a few insults. So, yeah, you made the Grand Budapest Hotel. You're still a dick.
What do you think is a dick?
Oh, wait, you didn't hear about that rant that he made at like some poor random ass intern who like
No, I
refused
had
to
no idea.
talk.
No, I had no
Oh,
idea.
I am sorry. No, Wes Anderson like went off screaming and yelling at someone. He's like, I'm trying to get my stop motion Auschwitz movie made. I'm on the phone every day. Yeah, it was on the set
That
of.
was Tom Cruise.
No.
Are you
It happened while
sure?
he was making Asteroid. Look, let me see. Wes Anderson.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, like.
Are you sure?
100%. Leaked Wes Anderson meltdown on the sets. C angry and cussing. Yeah, on the set of Asteroid City.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah,
No,
go
I had.
listen to that. And yeah, I will be sure to
All
check.
right, fine.
I will check these people when they need to be checked. So Wes Anderson, congratulations on the Oscar. You're still a bitch. A creative bitch, but a bitch.
All right, fine. All right, so we go to best documentary short film. Well, I guess we can keep the documentaries. So I don't have anything to say about those.
I
Or do you?
nope, I recognize none of these. All right, we're going to skip the documentaries like most people.
All right, let's go to best international feature film that went to the Zone of Interest, which of course, because it was nominated for Best Picture. But out of the other movies, I did get to see Perfect Days. That was the nomination from Japan. It's so lovely. It's one of the most loveliest movies ever made. Highly recommend it. Society of the Snow, I didn't see it, but it's on Netflix, so I know it's available. And if you can see the Teacher's Lounge, fucking watch the Teacher's Lounge. If,
Oh,
especially if you love Chisme, watch the Teacher's Lounge.
I'm curious.
Yeah, it's fun. I think you might really like it.
The tea. What's the cheese, man? I'm kind of curious.
Let's just say there's a student that behaves badly, and there's the teacher wants to help, but she's kind of limited.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Moving on to best animated feature. This was my first upset of the night because I was watching the Oscars and I had like my little like ballot. And I wrote best animated feature. I mean, it's obviously gonna go to Spider-Verse. Like, there's no way it's gonna go to something else. And then, like, right as they were gonna announce it, I went, "Oh my God, it's gonna go to Boy and the Heron. It's gonna go to Boy and the Heron." And it went to Boy and the Heron.
What was the giveaway
Amazing.
that it was going to go the other way?
I don't know. I felt it in my heart. I was like, "Oh no, it's gonna go to Boy and the Heron. It's absolutely gonna go to Boy and the Heron." And it did. Miyazaki, of course, it is the second time that he wins an Oscar and the second time he's not there. Because he refuses to go to a country that is currently engaged in war. Amazing how the US has not changed in 23 years. So,
Did he send
yeah.
them? Do they send him the Oscar?
I have no idea. I think so. I think someone like picks it up and like, because there were people from his team, but they were just not, they didn't go to like pick it up directly.
Fair.
But yeah, he was probably asleep. Like they woke him up like,
Like
hey,
Eminem.
yeah, he was just asleep, but like, Miyazaki-san, you won an Oscar. He's just like,
Fuck him.
I don't care. Like, get the fuck away. I'm drawing cute shit over here. Like he's a
I'm
busy
working on my
man.
next magnum opus here, guys.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, I love Miyazaki and I love Ghibli and I love the Boy and the Heron. So I'm really glad that this won. Especially because I hope that it makes people watch it and then get extremely scared because this movie has so much a nightmare fuel in the best way. I think it's super creative and I love it. And the English dub is also fantastic. So highly recommend it. The other nominees were cool. Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Verse. I think all deserved to be there. After seeing Robot Dreams, I would have taken that one out and put Nimona, I mean, not Nimona, I would have put Suzume, or I would have put the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie in there just to have more. Or they could always nominate more, and I'm happy that Wish wasn't there. So, yeah. The people who made Spider-Verse just posted one tweet after they lost, they just tweeted out, "Well, if you're gonna lose, you might as well lose to the GOAT," which is very classy of them.
Respect.
Respect. Disney did not post it that, by the
Fair.
way. Yeah. So yeah, really cool.
Best adapted screenplay.
Yeah, that went to American Fiction, based on the novel Erasure, which kind of makes sense. I mean, this is a novel that's about a novel, so adapting a movie out of a novel about a novel from a novel, yeah, makes sense.
I like it. I'm well aware I've not seen American Fiction, but just the vibes I get from it, it felt like, yeah, this is gonna be one of those, because it's an introspective look on authors and how the world views them from the inside and from the outside and whatnot. And let's be honest, like the racial expectations and whatnot.
I think you would absolutely love it. I think that's a movie for you.
If he is he cynical as fuck?
Yes.
Perfect. We're gonna get along just fine.
I don't know. I think you'll really like it, not just because of like him, but also like his family aspect and everything that he does. I think you'll really like it in that sense. Yeah. There's a scene where he shows up to an interview, and he shows up in like a t-shirt and like pants. And the guy goes like, "I told you to dress street," and he's like, "I am dressed street," and they're like, "Yeah, Sesame Street." Like,
The quips, the
yeah,
quips.
it's good. Best original screenplay went to Anatomy of a Fall. I thought it was gonna go between them and Holdovers and Past Lives. Anatomy of a Fall is a fucking gamble of a movie. Like, I'm so happy it works. Totally deserves, I think, the win. I would have really liked if Past Lives won, though. I think it's such an underrated movie.
Not gonna lie, I kind of wish the Holdovers had won just to kind of cement it a bit, because they got nominated for a lot of stuff, but I don't think it won a single thing.
It didn't want a single thing, no. Best supporting actress.
Oh shit, never mind. I take it back. Go
Oh,
Holdovers.
yeah. Speaking of the supporting actress, that went to Divine Joy Randolph as Mary Lamb. She was great. She won everything like on the way here, so it makes absolutely sense that she won. She gave a beautiful speech, and I think she definitely deserved it. Yeah, her
She
performance was great.
so I actually saw most of the mo was it, for the supporting actresses, there's five. I only saw three of the movies. I haven't seen The Color Purple, and I have not seen Bonnie Stoll. I'm sorry, Nydia. Nydia?
Not yet.
Nyad. I have not seen that one.
Yeah, me neither. It's on Netflix though.
But I mean, I don't have to watch the other ones to know the Holdovers was fucking excellent.
Yeah, and she was great, and I'm really glad that she is starting to be on in everything. Like, I remember the first time that I saw her was in the Dolomite Is My Name movie, also on Netflix. And yeah, she's been showing up on just a lot of stuff. She was in The Last City, and she was in Puss in Boots, and yeah, she's just been going up, so she's great. I think the one that we all thought was obviously going to win was supporting actor Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer. I mean, I was obviously going to win, right?
I think of all of them, yeah, that was the most obvious one. The supporting actor category, I don't think was as stacked. No offense to Robert De Niro, but you've had yours. Ryan Gosling, you were not going to win it for a comedy movie. Mark Ruffalo, I'm sorry, man, but your star, Iron Man over Hulk every day of the week. No offense.
Look,
No.
Ruffalo in Poor Things is fucking hilarious. Like, it's one of the funniest things I saw last year. Like, in between him and Gosling, I think it's really cool that we're nominating comedies. I like it because I prefer comedies over drama. But it's just really cool how much they did with those characters. Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction, he's good, but he's in it for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, he's not
Whereas,
in the movie that long.
yeah. Whereas RDJ plays Louis Strauss, Senator Louis Strauss at the time, which, if
Yeah.
you're gonna be the villain to Oppenheimer, you better be pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
He did. He was.
Yeah, he's pretty much like the second in command in that movie. Like, he's like almost half of the movie's dedicated to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I guess let's talk about. So, oh man, we should have mentioned Best Actress first, before all this, because after this, it's all Oppenheimer. Best actress went to Emma Stone from Poor Things.
Yeah. I really thought it was gonna be Lily Gladstone from Kill Switch Engage.
I really wish it had been Lily Gladstone.
Yeah.
Also, watching Maestro, I can say this wholeheartedly. Carey Mulligan should not have been nominated for Best Actress. She was in the film a good amount, but I will hark on this till the day I die. Margot Robbie, like, carried a $1 billion film on her back.
Yeah. I think she should have been
No
nominated.
offense to Carey, you're great.
Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall was really good. I think she would have been like a winner because she also like carries a movie in her back. Annette Bening and Naya, get Naya the fuck out of here. I don't know who the fuck cares about this movie. But look, I always knew it was gonna be between Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone. The thing about Emma Stone is that she is like front and center in that movie. Like the movie is about her. And she's playing a character with a lot of complexities, a character that literally learns how to talk throughout the movie. Like she starts not being able to form full sentences. And that transformation is amazing. Like this is a lead performance. And I like Lily Gladstone in Kills of the Flower Moon, but even though she is like at the front and center, also, I feel like, yeah, Emma Stone is more a front and center in Poor Things than Lily is in Kills of the Flower Moon. However, I did really think it was Lily's year. But she just got cast in a bunch of things. So I am not mad. And also, here's a little I don't know if you know this. She's being rumored to be the new Wonder Woman.
I would take Lily Gladstone as the next Wonder Woman.
I mean, I could see it. She's got like the black hair. She's got the black hair. She's got like a very commanding presence.
Well, also, and here's the thing that a lot of dipshits don't understand is the fact that Wonder Woman is an Amazon. Although they do technically hail from, I think, a Greek mythology, there are multiple tribes of Amazonians. Like they just made it canon in the comics that they have Amazons in Brazil. Like they have Amazons in Africa. They have a tribe there. They have, the Amazonians from Greek mythology. So they're world renowned, meaning like if she is cast and they try to argue, well, Wonder Woman isn't a Native American. Bitch, Wonder Woman is literally whatever nationality they feel like. So fuck off.
Yeah. Also, like she's very tall. She's 5'8". Like, she could also pull off that. She just gotta like build some muscle, and I think she could nail it.
Definitely. I wonder though if I wonder if they'll bring back Gal Gadot or if they're gonna just straight up like completely recast like fresh face.
They're not gonna bring back Gal Gadot. I think her time is done.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It's just like I don't know. We'll see. But let's talk about the night of Oppenheimer.
This is the night of Oppenheimer, which best actor went to Cillian Murphy. Not gonna lie, throughout three-fourths of the show, I had not marked best actor because I was bouncing between Cillian and Paul Giamatti. Look, Cillian Murphy was great as Oppenheimer, but I like it way more when an actor plays a character than when they play a real life person. I feel like that's harder. And I thought they were gonna put in consideration Paul Giamatti's long illustrious career also. There's a character actor. I don't know when he will get nominated again. So yeah.
Well, a lot of these guys, I think this is a first time nomination for Jeffrey Wright. I don't think Paul Giamatti has ever been nominated for Best Actor. I think he was nominated, I want to say, for Cinderella Man, but I could be wrong.
I think it was, yeah.
Bradley Cooper, he's been to the dance before and he'll be to the dance again. He's the new Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, you can't win, can you, bitch? Which is kind of hilarious, the fact that Leonardo was not nominated for Killers of the Flower Moon. I love that.
I love that it's been happening because he also was not nominated for Don't Look Up, even though that was nominated for everything.
Which I mean, maybe they're just tired. They're like, look, man, like we
Yeah.
know, but no mas.
Did you see the video of when he was getting his Oscar engraved?
Who beat Paul Giamatti?
No, DiCaprio.
No.
So after they give him the Oscar, they go to this little room where they attach the plaque to it. Like with their name, and someone's recording him like talking to the woman that's thatching the plaque, and he asks her like, "Do you do this every year?" And she goes, "Yeah, every year I attach the plaques to the Oscars." And then DiCaprio's like, "Wouldn't know."
Shit, that's a good one. Fuck,
It's just like,
good
I wouldn't know.
one. I would have. I'm first time here, guys. First time here. You know what? Seeing that Cillian Murphy won the Golden Globe and Paul Giamatti also won the Golden Globe, it makes sense that like it would be a fight between the two.
But it was really cool to see them both. And I love Paul Giamatti. I hope this isn't his last shot at this. And Cillian Murphy, I think he's gonna take a vacation after this. I think we're not gonna see him for a bit. And you can tell that he's kind of an introvert. Like he felt very awkward in all of the in all the promotional things. And I think he's kicking himself for winning because now he knows he has to present next year. So.
So I read this I'm gonna call it a cute story actually that I think is nice. What was I gonna say? So he went to this conference about climate change, and the lady who sat next to him actively like pretended not to know who he was, like just straight up was like, "Oh hey, what do you do?" Like just straight up like fucking like, "I don't know who the fuck you are." Like she lied and said like, "I'm so busy, I don't watch." Like I have no fucking nothing of pop culture. I think the last time I watched a movie was like, I think Spider-Man, maybe like when I was like in college. So apparently, she and Killian had like a 2-hour conversation about climate change and things that they can do, and so like he loved it apparently. Like someone snapped a picture and he was just smiling talking to her, like an actual smile.
Nice.
So yeah, I think you're right. Cillian Murphy is an introvert. But I do think he did an amazing job as Oppenheimer. He made us see a man. It even says was the man that moved the earth. He played a role of a person that genuinely changed the planet, not necessarily in a good way, and he went with it. And he showed Oppenheimer's regret for what he made and created, and his naivete as far as like, well, we can control it. No, you can't. And that's the problem.
Did you see the video where they put the end of Oppenheimer, but they changed the score to play Linkin Park's What I've Done?
Yes, I've seen it. I fucking love that. I'm like, that should have been canon.
Is stupidly well done, and I love that. To me, that is the best. The best thing I've seen on the internet lately. And it's funny that they keep deleting the video and the guy just keeps re-uploading it.
Well, you know what I would love to do? If I could rent a theater for a full, it would have to be a whole day. If I could, I would play Oppenheimer and immediately follow up. Like I would do like a home edit, and like the end credit scene would be a Godzilla roar. Go get lunch, come back, Godzilla minus
Godzilla
one.
minus one.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
But yeah, best actor, not surprised, Cillian Murphy. Not surprised.
Absolutely not.
Actually, we're pronouncing his name wrong. It's Cillian. I think.
I said Killian. What did you say? Is it Cillian?
No. But the pronunciation of Killian, like I remember one time he was like, everyone pronounces my name wrong. It's not Killian Murphy. It's Killian Murphy, like
Killian.
Jose or Jose, like you know,
Got
but
it.
they sound the same. No. They're
No,
different.
they don't sound the same. All right, makes sense.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Speaking of that, best director went to Christopher Nolan, which I do believe it's been a long time coming. I do think he's one of those directors that very much deserves. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, real quick. I want to say I was being sarcastic when I said like the names sound the same. I'm making
I
a point
know.
with dipshits.
I know.
It was not
I
salty. I swear to
understood.
God. I was like, wait,
I
why am
understood
I sarcastic?
that.
Huh?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Cool. Sorry. All right. Time back in. I wanted to be clear.
All right. Best director went to Nolan, which I do think it's been a long time coming. I said this when I was watching the Oscars, and I'll say it again. I do think he deserves a Best Director Oscar. I don't think he deserved it for this movie. But, I mean, the Oscars are never fair, so it makes sense.
So let me see. He was nominated for Best Picture with Inception, Best Picture with Dunkirk, Best Director for Dunkirk, Best Director for Oppenheimer. So I'm surprised he wasn't nominated for Best Director of Inception because that movie was in anyone else's hands, it doesn't work.
I
So I'm
agree.
surprised he was nominated for that. Best Director, Oppenheimer. Makes sense. I feel like he had the biggest of the people here. I feel like he had the biggest task ahead of him telling this story, and he managed to tell a 3-hour historical epic, and people loved it and kept flocking to the theaters. I think it's the most successful biopic ever done.
I do think it is. It's kind of amazing that this movie like
It's
made that
just south
much
of
money.
$1 billion.
It's just south of $1 billion, man.
Wow.
And look, the other directors are great. Justine Triet was great, did a great job with Anatomy of Falls. Scorsese, of course, he's a legend. Yorgos, it's so good to see him here. And Jonathan Glazer. Here's the thing, I want to talk a little bit about Jonathan Glazer. To me, he's the closest that we have to a modern day Kubrick. Okay. His movies are fucking insane. And he can take concepts that already exist and just flip them over their head. He is so calculating, and I don't think it's going to be the last time that we see him here. I do think it's amazing that he was nominated. And if you haven't seen his speech for when he won Best International Feature, give yourselves a pleasure. It is fucking incredible. You can see his hands shaking from how important this is to him. So I highly recommend jumping into the Jonathan Glazer rabbit hole. I think it's a great journey to have. I think he's one of the great unsung heroes of modern cinema. But having said this, Nolan's speech, he said something so beautiful in his speech. He said something along the lines of filmmaking doesn't have more than 100 years. Like it in a weird way, it is younger than photography and it's younger than other things. It is weirdly still in its infancy, and I'm very like proud and happy that you all consider me important enough to be a part of that era,
Wow.
which is such a great thing to say, because like I don't think, does he know that he's Christopher Nolan? Like, does he not know who the fuck he is? Like, it is I thought it was a brilliant thing to say and a beautiful thing to say, and I feel like a lot of these awards, they're usually like all the jokes that are being said. I don't think these people like movies. Like they don't love and bleed movies. And Nolan loves and bleeds movies. So it's really cool to have him at the forefront talking like that. Like people like Kim or Tarantino, like I love hearing him them talk about movies. So it's kind of great to have him say that. If you all haven't seen his acceptance speech, it is fucking beautiful. I think that's a champion right there.
Do you ever think that maybe Nolan, not that he has a chip on his shoulder, but do you think like he still loves making movies, but he has that luxury because he's on such a high level?
Yeah.
And what, I'm gonna give Christopher Nolan notes?
Yeah.
No. Like
Yeah.
I wonder if his love of film is, and you're right, that was a beautiful speech. I thought you were going to say that movies only have 100 years left. I was like, oh, he's talking about computers or whatever. But no, do you ever think that maybe some people get tired, not necessarily because they don't like movies, but because they get tired of fighting those fights to get their vision seen? Even someone like Zack Snyder like has to fight the studio tooth and nail for stupid things.
Well, Nolan had to, like, he had to fight to leave Warner Brothers after he felt screwed over Tenet.
Yeah.
And he did this movie with another studio because, yeah, so this also felt like a win to him because it's like I had a vision and Warner Brothers wasn't letting me do it, so he had to go somewhere else to do it, which is, that's the American dream, I guess. It's crazy. It's just that he always felt to me like almost pompous. Like he always felt to me like such a high and mighty guy that refuses to watch to make movies on digital and frowns upon people that watch movies on their phones. And then during these award cycles, like he came off so human and weirdly humble and funny. Like I saw an interview with him where he said that he loves the Fast and Furious movies and that he loves Talladega Nights. And they were like, what the fuck? What do you mean you like Talladega Nights? And then Nolan was just like, if you're not first, you're last.
I forgot about that one. I forgot you.
Yeah, like I can't believe that he's actually kind of like he's actually like a goofy little guy. But I guess that's what you have to be when you're a person that loves movies so much that you want to make them. So props to him. It was truly his year. So
So
yeah.
do you want to hear about the next three possible movies he might do real quick?
Oh my God, yes.
So it's not sure if he's gonna, he may adapt a book called The Prisoner by B.A. Paris. The plot is very basic. It revolves around Amelia, I'm sorry, a young woman who is being held hostage. The author cleverly tells Emile's story, background around her being a hostage and dealing with kidnapping and being kidnapped along with her husband. So that's one option. An original screenplay, which apparently is rumored that he's writing a new original property, or he's also being shopped as a potential director for the next James Bond movie.
I think you would do it just to like do something different.
Maybe he's tired of making original work and he's like, you know what? I need to phone it in. Give me some property like Batman and let me remake it and do it even better than anyone ever did.
I mean, he would do great
Thing
as a
is,
James Bond director.
Nolan running at 50% is still better than 99% of directors. And I mean that as a
Yeah.
compliment. So, yeah, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. I'm pretty sure if he called tomorrow and said, hey, I want to do a new James Bond trilogy, Idris Elba is my Bond, they would be like, all right, cool. You cook. Cook.
There was a really cool moment last night in the Oscars where like it was him standing next to Justine Triet, who directed Anatomy of a Fall, and they were having a conversation, and someone added like, "Do you think he's asking notes on how to write women characters because he sucks at that?" It's like,
Oh, well,
maybe.
oh, damn.
Look, I love Nolan, but like he makes dude bro movies, like dude bro movies for the thinking bro, but it's still dude bro movies.
I mean, right? What you know? I mean, he could challenge himself,
Yeah,
but like, what if he fucks it up? Talladega Nights is his favorite movie.
I mean, that's the dude broest of movies. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, we're gonna do better. And well, might as well say that he won Best Picture with Oppenheimer. I really thought Barbie had a chance. Really, really thought Barbie had a chance. But I guess they'll just have to make do with the $1 billion that they did, you know.
Honestly, I'm not surprised. Oppenheimer was the only movie that made sense. It, on the scale it was, I did not see, I didn't watch it. American Fiction didn't have a chance in hell. Anatomy of a Fall didn't have a chance in hell. Barbie maybe could have put up a fight. The Holdovers had less of a chance in hell. Close to the Flower Moon, I thought was maybe number two, actually. Because the Academy loves old white dudes, you know, in historical films. I'm shocked Napoleon wasn't nominated, but then again, maybe it's a good thing Napoleon was not nominated.
It was bad.
I still want to see the 4-hour cut and see if that's good.
I really thought that look, American Fiction to me was the dark horse. It was like the year when Green Book won after not winning anything else. And because there are few things that are as strong as white guilt. And I feel like that could have been the ticket in for American Fiction. I really thought it was going to be that or Zone of Interest because you know how the Academy loves the World War II movies.
Yeah.
And Ogden is also about guilt, so it makes sense. Past Lives, get it the fuck out of here. I want to say this. Every nomination that that Maestro had should have gone to the Iron Claw.
You're right. Iron Claw wasn't nominated. Do you think Zac Efron gets nominated for Best Actor, though?
I think he would have won if given the chance. Zac
No.
Efron gave my favorite performance of 2023. To me, he was better than Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer.
Look, I'm real with you. As someone who loves wrestling, I did not see Iron Claw having a shot in hell. Would have been nice, but I didn't see it.
Sorry, but no. To me that was the one.
Fair. All right then. Over
Actually, I might watch this. I might watch it again after this.
who
It came out on
the Iron
digital.
Claw? You is it out on? Oh yeah, it is. It's been out since December. Forget that.
It's out on digital, yeah. All right, so that was the Oscars. That was best picture, and also the Oscars started an hour earlier, and thank fucking God, the show ran by so much smoother. It ended well. I watched it with some friends and with some family. We had some Costco pizza and we had a blast watching it, just filling out our ballots. The performances were great. It was really cool to see Becky G singing the Hot Cheeto song. It was cool to see to almost see John Cena's Shaft and
He was, you know, that he was wearing. I'm just saying, he was wearing a flesh color thong underneath that. I'm just.
I know, but still, like movie magic. Come on,
John
man.
Cena Shaft.
I did like someone made a joke that so we were watching it and like he walked out and then my cousin was like, "Why is that envelope just floating?"
I saw the same fucking thing. I saw the
Yeah.
tweet.
It was a perfect, it was the easiest
That
joke
joke
to
will never
make.
die.
Yeah.
Someday, imagine if John Cena wins an Oscar someday. Why is that statue floating by itself?
Makes absolute sense. Yeah, there was a Kimmel who I didn't love in the past previous times that he's hosted. I thought it was great here. First of all, he was a class act by bringing in all the staff members on stage and being like, "Hey, they're going on strike this year, like as a possibility. Like, let's stand by them. Like, yeah, BFX workers, they're gonna go on strike."
Oh yeah, I've heard about that. Dude,
Yeah.
yes, please.
Yeah.
That oh my God, video game actually also video game
Yeah.
I think
Video game.
500 or 600 video game developers are going on strike, or the workers, I'm
Yeah.
sorry.
Yeah. So it was
So
really cool for him to like bring them out and be like, "Hey, these are the people that are going, that are working behind the scenes. These are the people that we're gonna stand next to, like come that time." So I like that. He made a joke where he said like, "Oh, like Greta Gerwig is here and Margot Robbie are here. You know, they were not nominated for the things, but I think we all think that they should have been." And then everyone started clapping. And he's like, "Why are you clapping? You didn't nominate them. Like, that's on you."
dang, shit, that's a good one.
Like, why are you clapping? Like, you could have done something about it.
I wonder if part of it was jealousy, like these bitches can't be winning everything, which they
Yeah.
did deserve. Which they did deserve.
They deserve. It was their year. Yeah, that was good. Like I said, the Ryan Gosling performance was the performance of the night. Even bringing out Slash at the end to play the solo.
That threw me off. I was like, why the
That
fuck
was
is Slash? I get it, but
because
why?
he plays in the actual song.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's lost in the mix, but it's there.
I did
And
not.
then that was good. The fact that they kept cutting to Messi, the dog from Anatomy of a Fall. That was also pretty fun. The Batman thing with Schwarzenegger and DeVito.
I got the
Kate
sense like
McKinnon.
I've been like wrong Batman.
Kate McKinnon. Do you see the Jurassic World thing?
No.
So America Ferrera and Kate McKinnon show up to present the award for documentary, and they start saying like they start naming various documentaries, and then they go like, "Of course, Bowling for Columbine and An Inconvenient Truth." And then Kate McKinnon is like, "Yeah, Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, Jurassic World Dominion." And then America Ferrera is like, "You know that those are movies, those are not documentaries." And she goes like, "No, those are documentaries." And she goes like, "No, the dinosaurs were fake." And then she goes, "Oh, America, not you too."
Oh.
And he goes like, no, like the movies are real, but like the dinosaurs were fake." And then she turns to Spielberg in the audience and is like, "Dr. Spielberg, did you know about this?" And then Spielberg is in on a joke. He's like, "Yeah." And then he just goes like, and then she goes like, "Well, if the dinosaurs are not real, is Jeff Goldblum real?" And they're like, "No, absolutely not. He's not real." And then she turns and then she goes like, "Then to who have I been sending my nudes to?" And then they turn to Spielberg, and Spielberg just looks at the camera and goes like,
Oh my
just
God,
pointing at
he wasn't
himself.
on the joke.
Not only was he on the joke, I sometimes forget that Spielberg is the man behind Freakazoid and the Animaniacs. Like, I forget he has a sense of humor. And oh God, like, yeah, it was funny. Yeah, these were pretty good Oscars. I'm glad that with this we put an end to 2023 and we jump straight into 2024. Good things are coming. Blockbusters and dramatic movies are coming. Indies are coming. The new Ari Aster movie just got announced today with a stellar cast. We're going in good directions. I can't wait to see things like Furiosa and Monkey Man and the three Imaginary Friends movies that are coming out this year. I think it's going to be a good year, but we'll have to see. Gotta take a break from superheroing and let's see what else comes out. Anything else you'd like to add?
No. enjoyed it all. Keep supporting movies, support the unions. Here's to another year.
Here's to another year, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Chema.
I've been Eddie.
And this was the robot.
But signing off with a reminder, hail to the king.
Yeah, go watch Godzilla Minus One the second that you can. It's not available anywhere yet on digital or on Blu-ray, but watch
Oh,
it when you can.
I'm buying that Japanese Blu-ray the second it comes out. It has subtitles. Fuck it.
I am
Oh, I already
gonna.
got my Godzilla popcorn bucket. It has Godzilla on the inside of it.
Oh, heck
Looks
yeah.
cool.
Oh, send me a picture of it. Yeah. Yeah. I'll just wait until the when they release a 4K Blu-ray of Godzilla Minus One. That's the one I'm getting.
Fair. Fuck it.
Yeah. All right. Can't wait for that criterion. Thank you so much for joining us. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.